You're on for cast.
Now this is the show that you know.
I don't like Gabe so much. I'm glad I taped myself saying this.
Forecast.
It's not a bad little tag. Well, here you are. You've stumbled across number 3.
Episode number 3 of Forecast, the only barbershop, or the only podcast on the internet dedicated strictly to barbershop music.
What did
we
say about you talking in the beginning?
We just proved it again.
Oh, man.
Okay, you say it. I'll get out of the way and let you talk.
All right. Hey, it's Eric Brixen here.
And Alan Levisu here. And I shouldn't have said that because I'm not supposed to talk at the beginning.
Oh, how hilarious. That's staying on. We're joining you today via iChat for all you Apple fans.
Yep, we're going strictly Mac on both sides.
So yeah, why not?
To see if it works any better.
Why not? I think it sounds better, but I'm weird.
I'm not talking. It's you.
Oh, I forgot.
The beginning thing.
All I heard was crickets.
No, that's a Cindy Hansen line.
I know. We need to move that in. We need to get a cricket. I got a cricket sound effect. We can put that in later. Anyway. So, last week, Alan, over 60 countries?
For the last podcast, we had over 60 countries.
That's fantastic.
Again, I haven't looked at it this week to even know how many people from various different places did. But
well, thank you again for tuning in or clicking in, as I said last week. Over 60 countries, which would, of course, completely support my world domination through barbershop. Throw me a bone, won't you? Okay, let's get on with it. Let's take a listen to the first bit on the show here. You can really dig the show. We have a lot of fun stuff, but let's take a listen to some gentlemen from the Ambassadors of Harmony. Ambassadors, can't say that. Ambassadors of Harmony. Go. From the Ambassadors of Harmony.
This was recorded on Saturday right before they went onto stage for their swan song as the international champions of last year.
Wonderful guys. Take a listen to Robert Wagner, Rick Falzone, and Eric Drennan. I like Eric's name, by the way.
It's no surprise.
Nice. Yeah, go figure. Take a listen. So how many guys in the Ambassadors these days?
We had 160 on stage when we won international last year. I don't know what the count is. Are we 150 or thereabouts?
I thought we're around 140 this time.
Yeah, 140 to 150 right now.
So what's it like to have David Wright and Jim Henry in the same chorus and Gas House Gang, to have that kind of leadership within the organization? What's a Tuesday night like?
After you say awesome, it's like having every week you have a voice lesson, and we're constantly improving every week.
You must have been listening to our conversation earlier. That's the reason you asked the question, but we were talking about that very subject. And it's a kind of a breathtaking to sing in a chorus where you have the very best of the directors and the very best of the arrangers in the world in your chorus.
Yeah, and I asked that not because I was listening because I had headphones on, but I'm an actually very astute person, and I know astute.
Oh, okay. I think
smart.
You said something else there.
No, smart.
I didn't hear the at the beginning.
No,
I read the
no,
not rest of it is
no,
with an
just,
it on it. So I think it's astuted or something.
No,
which
no,
is,
no. It's
just
smart.
Kind of prove itself.
Intellectually, you're superior kind of thing.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Alan and I used to. I was the director of Sacramento Musical Director, and Alan was associate director for about 5 years when we were there and sang in quartets together. So seeing quartets and growing up in the society as we've done, we see choruses that have great musical leadership and great quartets associated with them, how well that impacts them.
You were in Sacramento?
I'm in Sacramento now. I grew up in Land O'Lakes.
Well, I moved from Far Western District here to Central States, and I sang with choruses out there in the Valley, you know, Silicon Valley. It was a great training ground. I mean, what you learned there in Far Western District, you brought here, you were already steps ahead of the rest of the game.
Now, how long have you guys been in the chorus?
I started the year we went to Montreal, so that was, I guess, 2.5 years ago.
I started when we went to Kansas City first time. I guess it's about 6 years, 6, 7 years.
And I joined the Daniel Boone Chorus back in 1972. And
I was born
there. I
stayed
about 5 years, and I rejoined in 1988, right? And they were still called the Daniel Boone Chorus. And in 1990, they had a change name to the Ambassadors of Harmony. And I've had the whole ride ever since our first district. to our gold medal, and just a wonderful experience.
What drew you into the chorus back then?
I've always been a singer my whole life. I saw an ad in the local journal. It said there's a barbershop chorus in town, and there was an audition being held at the local barbershop. And I showed up at the barbershop.
What a gimmick. Man, we need to do stuff like that
and
now.
And there was a quartet, the Gaslight Squires. And I showed up, and they said, "Well, Bob, what part do you sing?" And I said, "Well, I'm a bass." And they said, "Well, what song would you like to sing?" And, "Well, how about My Wild Irish Rose?" And it was Ron Gruters. He stepped out, and I stepped in. I sang. I blended. They said, "You've passed the audition. You're in the Daniel Boone chorus." And that was our audition process.
And you've been singing tenor ever since?
Well, no, I've been singing tenor. Yeah, thank you. It's a blast.
Now, personally, and you've just a few years, and how long in the society for you?
Well, I've been in the society for probably 24 years. Yeah.
And mine's 22 years.
Up until Gas House Gang was really, they're at International many years. I joined in about 83. But it was always, for me, Bluegrass Student Union, and then it became Gas House Gang, my all-time favorite quartet. Who do you got right now? Who's in your CD player at home?
Probably the Gas House Gang. I don't care who wins international forever. Gas House Gang will still be my very, very favorite quartet.
Eric, did you get a chance to hear him much?
I'm sorry?
Did you get a chance to hear Gas House Gang much live?
In fact, the one and only time I saw Gas House Gang was my first guest night with the Ambassadors of Harmony. It was the one and only time I ever saw them sing with Rob when he was still with us. So,
fantastic. So tonight, top 10, holy.
I think this is probably the best top 10 we've ever had. From top to bottom, there probably won't be a score any lower than 85 coming out of that.
What do you guys think of the music that's being done today? You're hearing things on the Harmonet or out there about different groups trying to branch off. The Kibbers feeling really strong about just barbershop and strict barbershop. I'm not going to tell you where I fall because it'd probably surprise you.
Keep it barbershop.
What do you define as strict barbershop?
And we're asking the wrong people because, like, this is a chorus with David Wright in it.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah.
That's the reason I asked the question. David is famous for taking modern music, or what we consider modern music, and arranging in the barbershop style. All the music we do, maybe with a few exceptions, is barbershop style. However, everything else that we do, David gets his hands on it and it turns out to be barbershop music. So we're kind of partial.
Now, Eric, how old are you?
35.
35, okay. So does this, singing stuff like David Wright's arrangements, does that grab you better than
Shine On Me?
Shine On Me, which we're hearing in the background.
Yeah, I think that I probably would not have stayed with the Ambassadors of Harmony had it not been for the arrangements that David put together for Montreal and the leadership of Jim Henry. The history of barbershop is exploration and changing. And when you hear some of the guys talk about keeping barbershop, well, to me, part of the definition of barbershop is exploring and trying new things, not just the way it was during a certain period of time. So singing the new charts is the exciting stuff. And to be quite frank, if this society is going to survive, I think we've got to continue to get younger guys in the society. And the way to do that is not with Shine On Me. As great a song as that is, and as well as that can be sung, and I mean, our current international champions, Gotcha, they sang a couple of Polecats last year in their competition, and they won the thing.
Polecats on steroids.
Polecats on steroids, absolutely. But ring the chords, and that's the most important thing, though.
Let's ask a couple of other questions that are on our list that we haven't asked anybody else. You guys went to both of the quartet contests. What, in your opinion, was so far has been the song of the contest?
Well, for us, it was here in Vocal Spectrum do Cruella de Vil, another chart by the one and only David Wright. But I think for the audience, the song of the contest was probably Rampart when Vocal Spectrum did South Rampart Street Parade last night and brought it back from their quartet competition from last year.
Well, the other song they did last night, that was
Small Fry.
That was the song for me, I'll tell you. That just blew me away.
What he just said about Rampart Street Parade is kind of interesting. It goes right along with what we're talking about here. First time I ever saw the Ambassadors of Harmony perform, they did Rampart Street Parade. It was originally a chorus song. Well, these four that's right. These four kids have taken that song and turned it into a quartet song. You can only imagine how difficult it is to do that, and they pulled it off.
Yeah, I think that was an old gentleman's agreement, wasn't it? Or no, Texas. Someone in Texas.
Doesn't matter. Could be anything.
Doesn't matter, but tough
we'll
chart.
We'll get corrected tough eventually. Chart. I'm sure somebody will email us and tell us.
Yeah, it's written on my music.
I mean, all four of our listeners, one of them will know.
See, now, isn't it funny? We just talked about Kibber. We just talked about David Wright arrangement. We just talked modernization of music in the barbershop harmony style. And yet, the song that you guys are talking the most about is South Rampart Street Parade, which is not exactly a new song.
But it is on steroids.
Yes, I would agree. Got some other drugs going on.
We're going to be doing tonight on stage, first time, The Man of La Mancha in barbershop style.
Very cool. We won't tell anybody.
Don't tell anybody until after this is over. We've done Stars and Stripes
Forever.
We've
got to post this, like, now.
We do Stars and Stripes Forever, barbershop style. We do some Cats, you know, from the show Cats. We do an awful lot of stuff. Oh, and remember the Turtles way back, probably before you were born? Happy Together? You familiar with that song?
Yes, I know the song.
I know the song, and yes, before I was born.
I didn't need to say that.
He makes me feel old all the time.
Because you are old.
Yeah. He makes me feel. Yeah, and a lot of Beatles stuff, too. So, I mean, we go across the spectrum of time, and the audience loves it. I've never heard anybody say, I wish you wouldn't do that kind of music. I wish you'd sing Shine On Me.
You haven't, huh?
No.
We've heard in our quartet that we were in together, I wish you guys wouldn't do that kind of music, or any kind, for that matter. But
what am I supposed to say to that? What I can tell you is we're sitting here in 2005 Barbershop Harmony International Convention in Salt Lake City, Utah, in the Marriott downtown. Nice place if you're in town. I think you
should
stop by.
We were actually editing podcast stuff, and we just got surrounded by a bunch of guys in black tuxes with white vests. And
Ambassadors of Harmony. Guys, thank you for spending some time with us. If you
thank
see
you
two people about our size, let us know. We'll knock them over. Like to get some singing in tonight. So. But thank you very much. Really appreciate
it. It's our pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting us in to speak with the rest of the barbershoppers.
Well, those guys are just exceedingly cool. That was wonderful that they would take a moment and listen to us ask them questions and actually answer questions.
Yeah, it's amazing because those are just three regular guys out of the Ambassadors of Harmony, and they were extremely eloquent. I guess in order to be in that group, you have to be eloquent and know a lot of stuff.
I can't spell it. But did you notice that almost everyone we talked to, I can spell Joe Barbershopper, but not
eloquent.
Elephant, okay. Yeah. All of those guys are just sweet, nice guys.
I know. You know, that's true. Most of the men that I meet and the women that I've met through various different barbershop organizations have been wonderful people when you meet them face to face.
Yeah, it's that whole jerk to good guy ratio is pretty darn good in this society. So you
it
know
is.
What?
It's too bad that doesn't seem to follow through on all of the mediums
careful,
that we deal with communication
careful.
On. Careful. I'm sorry.
Oh, I are you still, talking about? I'm not going to talk about that. You
the harmonet? No.
No, you're not.
You don't want me to bring up the harmonet?
No, I don't want to bring up the harmonet.
Oh, okay. That's just because, well, you know what? I'm sure it's because you absolutely love the quartet from Texas, and that's the whole issue.
That's my head into the microphone. Yes, I love Max Q. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't.
Of course not.
They're great. I love them. Love hearing them. The guys are nice. They've been, you know, nice to talk to in the hallway, say hi, all that fun stuff. Just, God.
So, but well, we'll just drop it there and realize that in both of our opinion,
I don't think you have the same opinion
of various people. Well,
is that your stomach?
I don't have the same fervor for the opinion that you do, but I imagine we both probably do have the same opinion on.
Okay, so here's the deal. Here, I got. It's going to be a jacked up show unless I do this now. Stop on the harmonet. If you don't like it, great. But let's stop the endless barrage of, well, they should not do this and they should do that. And people are all worked up about Max Q and they're all worked up about the, for God's sakes, the logo change. What else were they worked up about?
Those are the two big ones right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Although
my favorite. If you don't stop typing these messages, I'm going to quit the Harmonet. Who cares? Who cares? It's a message board. I don't get dues from the Harmonet. Do you? Do you pay dues? Are you awake? I mean, really, in the message, well, I'm thinking about, oh, my good gravy. Now I woke up my son. He's taking a nap. I'm complaining about that. You know, but then again, it's the Harmonet, and maybe that's where they're supposed to air all of those opinions. So bravo. Bravo for the senseless 15 pages about Max Q competing at a district.
I guess it depends on where you put the hyphen in the word Harmonet. Because it could be Harmon and then the hyphen, which means it's harmony, or it could be harm dash onet. So,
didn't Alan Webb put something out last week too?
He did. He's a great guy, and I totally actually support everything he said. Well, yeah, but you know.
Okay, I'm sorry.
He even has the right name, as we talked about. Eric from Ambassadors of Harmony had the right name. Well, Alan Webb has the right name.
Find my happy place.
And another good friend of mine, Alan Gordon, has the right name. So, you know,
find
you just got to...
Find my happy place. Okay, I'm done. So
well, you know what we should do?
Instead
of worrying about the happy place that you're in right now, Eric, we should probably just get off this subject completely and go to our second interview, which is with a person we spoke about a few moments ago. Well,
Did we really?
10 minutes ago. That would be the presentation coach extraordinaire, Ms. Cindy Hansen.
Oh, yeah, let's take some time with Cindy. I love Cindy. Let's go for some time with Cindy, and I'm going to go find a happy place.
Hanging with Cindy in the judge's lounge, of all places.
Yeah, well,
tell anybody.
We needed to find a room, and hey, Cindy opened the door. There was nobody in here, and as soon as they walk in, we'll have to run away.
It's because she's got the place wired.
No, I don't have it wired. I just got it scoped out.
But I did notice she does have a backstage pass, and we didn't get one.
Uh-oh. So you have to hang with me. I don't have an extra one. Usually I have an extra one just in case somebody I'm with needs one. So,
well, you know what we should have done was realized there was such a thing and created our own.
Well, actually, they're not too hard to duplicate if you look at them.
Exactly.
Just make sure you have the right color paper.
There you go.
So knowing that we've got probably only 5 minutes here.
Okay.
You know, there's been a lot of talk, especially on the internet.
About me?
No, about coaching. And
I think my biggest question for you is we've seen such a change, at least I think in the last 5 years.
In the presentation category?
Totally,
yeah. It's making big leaps. Not everybody understands it, but it's probably going to be a lot more entertaining for the general audience and general public to understand, you know, what's happening in barbershop. It used to be very... very straight-laced, very clean-cut, very precision, and now it's gone into more theatrics. And it's even getting to the point where there are task forces looking at being able to do lighting during your performances.
Wow. I hadn't heard about lighting.
Yeah.
I knew about the microphone thing.
Yeah, they are going to, and they're looking at 4 microphones, so you could choose 4 mics. But the lighting would be, you would be able to actually have somebody call your lighting cues, and they would give you a list of cue options, probably 10 or 15. You could set them up in your song, and then you could literally have somebody backstage cueing to, you know, light 1, fade to light 2, fade to, you know, light 4.
So they're like adding all kinds of elements.
They're looking
to the production
at that. Right. They were actually hoping that they could do some of that as a pilot this year, but because this auditorium here in Salt Lake City is so amazing.
Right.
But they didn't have, with all the changes happening at the society, they didn't have enough time to focus on that as an option this year.
Yeah, that's totally understandable. I'm also, you know, hearing about the 4 mic issue and knowing, being a sound kind of person myself, I'm wondering about that portion and all the other controversy stuff. Right, but I also look at that and say that's got to be way harder from a presentation standpoint to deal with 4
mics.
Well,
most barbershoppers have never worked on 4 mics.
Right.
There's a handful of them that do some things outside of the barbershop world in the doo-wop and, you know, in the a cappella world.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a little bit of experience with that, which would give them sort of an edge. But they are this year teaching a class at Harmony College on using 4 microphones and how to do that. The problem is that you can't change the EQ.
Right.
And
you can't change all of that. Now,
right.
As I said, being a sound engineer, I'm not a sound engineer.
Right, so what they would do is set it,
and
then you would have to know and be smart about whether you, you know, had the mics closer, farther away. And there will be groups that are probably good at that. The issue is the judges have been trained for years to judge non-amplified sound.
Right.
And the minute we go to four microphones and sound systems, and they're going to have to judge amplified sound. And for their ears, what's the best way to train them to do that? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, those are all, there's task forces all over the country right now going on looking at those. Probably the neatest thing that's happening this year and is getting a lot of recognition is the whole thing about transcending the fourth wall.
Yes, that, I read the article, and that was a wonderful article to describe
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that Connie Kyle put together, uh-huh. right. It's amazing. It talks about, you know, being able to do things that, you know, maybe are done in things like where Disney does that, where they actually are break that wall between the audience and the stage, and it becomes more of a experience than watching an event happening. So that's really big this year. And they actually, one of the quartets that actually is mic testing tonight for the top 20 scored 89s, 88s in their presentation.
That's
and they came in
impressive.
Through the audience. They had talking in their, you know, performance. And what's exciting is tonight, again, they will do that. They'll carry that to the next level. So they're rewarding that, definitely. And they're looking at doing things that are more real to the song instead of planned, you know, yes, stilted, exactly. And so one of the things that I think is great about that is it's even though we're not great at it yet and we're not good at it, it gives a chance to try some things that we've never tried before. And we're not going to be as boring to the rest of the world as barbershop has always been in the past.
So I got to ask the obvious question, then. How do you answer the people, the people who prefer specific kinds of barbershop music? And their idea of that, how do you answer them when they come up and back and say, that's not barbershop if you're not standing on the stage and singing?
Well, there's a group of people, obviously, that are in the serious mode of, you know, holding barbershop true to its original art form. One of the things I think that we have to look at is if we want people to experience barbershop, we have to expand to an entertainment level. That doesn't mean that we have to give up the true art form of the music of barbershop, but the entertainment side of it brings in, is appealing to a lot more individuals. And if we are more appealing, then more people are going to get a chance to experience barbershop harmony. And I think that's the ultimate goal, is that people get a chance to experience it. Even if we don't always do it in the truest sense, we may do some other creative things to get their attention and then give them some true barbershop. People that get hooked on barbershop get hooked on the harmony. They don't get hooked on the staging, or they don't get hooked on the showmanship. That side comes as a second piece of it. But we can get them involved and get them excited about it through that avenue.
Sounds very cool.
Yeah, and, you know, I noticed Saturday Evening Post.
Yes.
Has done a lot of different things than what, you know, when you watch quartets and you watch quartets and they come out and they would, I remember one year they brought a desk out that had a mirror punched out. I think they did Heart of a Clown.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, wow, what great staging. And no one else, they didn't. I don't know where they placed that year. But that was so different for the time. And last night, was it last night?
Two nights ago.
We had a voiceover in the first part and
Riptide did a dedication.
Dedicated mm-hmm. it to an arranger, a coach.
A coach, yeah. That we had recently lost. Those kinds of things are definitely expanding. You have to be careful because most of the barbershoppers are not trained actors, you know, and so we get conflicting views as to whether they pulled that off well or didn't pull that off well. One of the things you have to be careful of is when Riptide did a dedication two nights ago, one of the rules is that you can't do an introduction to a song, but that you can speak if it's in the context of the performance of a song. So like when Alchemy came out, they said they were actually going into a jazz club to play. And so it's like, hey, good to see you. So it was conversation around that versus a setup of a song. So I'm not sure how that's going to score.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, because that's a little bit over the edge. That's closer to an introduction and a dedication. We still aren't into show packages yet.
Sure.
Where you can do joke telling and staging and stuff like that.
Like the Sweet Adelines do. Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking exactly Sweet Adelines. And you know, I enjoy Sweet Adelines. My wife's a Sweet Adeline. It's all good. But I see so much, again, at the barbershopper that's not an actor, that is very that seems very staged, very stilted, very
right.
Devicey, not real.
Right. I think you have to be careful. One of the things when I'm coaching is staying true to who the quartet personality is. I'm very lucky to coach quartets like Metropolis, who are very creative and comedic. And then on the other side of that, coaching Flipside, who is high energy, mm-hmm. you know, standard barbershop singing. And then you take that to Stormfront, who is doing gimmick creative little things but can also stand and sell a ballad, you know, very, very well. And my goal as a coach and my recommendation to quartets is stay true to your personality. Three Men and a Melody does kind of that push beat, swing, jazz, high tempo thing very, very well. Other quartets don't do that well. So it's the same in the entertainment side of that. If you have somebody who does great at dialogue inside a song, or you have somebody who can set a theatrical theme up, then I think those are the ways to use that. If you're not good at that, I think you ought to be careful and stay true to who the personality of the quartet. Every quartet has a personality. And I use an example a lot, like Acoustics and Row Route 4.
Mm-hmm.
Both have won gold medal. Right. Both have won gold medals in our society. All four of the individuals in each of those quartets were very, very true to the style of that quartet. And they picked songs, they picked costuming, they picked the way to present a song and their visual performance that was very true to them. And so quartets really need to come up with who their personality is. What are the words that describe who you are? Are you fun? Are you formal? Are you serious? Are you dedicated to the music, or are you very, you know, flamboyant? You know, pick some key words that really describe who you are, and then stay true to that. Some quartets are awesome at interplay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take, and I mean this with all the love in my heart, Acoustics is a very formal, a very classy, a very powerful, and a very unattainable quartet to the audience. Row Route 4 is very loving, warm, appealing, and very approachable.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is you wouldn't use approachable, warm, tender words to describe Acoustics. They are not, that's not who they are. And that's okay, because mm-hmm. we as an organization need that kind of creative, you know, differences so that we don't get bored with hearing. We do hear a lot of the same music, because when we find songs we love and when we find arrangements that are great, we like to stay with those. Mm-hmm. So how do we bring those to life in the personality of the quartet? That's what makes it a lot more exciting.
It is. Thank you.
Well, I know you got to run. We look forward to spending more time with
you. I would love to do that.
Great.
This is just fantastic. Great stuff.
Thank you.
I feel so much better. So much
Cindy's
better.
Cindy's a good person. She makes you relax and be yourself, although you were yourself before Cindy came on, too.
Yes. Well, if I've offended anyone, tough.
Yeah,
no, I mean it in a good way. You know, you guys get the Harmonet. I don't post on the Harmonet. I get to do a podcast, so live with it. Hey, you know what, Alan? We should really talk about some of the great entries we've had for the forecast theme.
You're right.
Don't you think?
We've had how many now? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
you know,
9?
We've had
some really good stuff.
We've had some very good stuff.
Although I think one of them, I think we called it number 5, is probably not fitting in your concept.
We will play that as a bumper to our last interview, because I think we'll play it on the coming out of it part, because I think that's
there. You go, because that'll work. Okay.
Hey, Alan, who sent this email? He sent some music, and we had the Coretto Brothers record. Who was that? Do you know?
You ask me now. Of course, I don't have it off the top of my head. I have to look. If you keep on talking about another one, but
I'll talk about another
back
one.
With that.
So what we'll do is we'll take a look. This one actually is one of my favorites. This is a very old school. You know, I love it. Take a listen. See, no, I love that.
That's a very
I
very
love
cool
that.
One.
That makes me happy.
You know, the problem is we can't tell anybody who that is.
I know.
Because he
but if you guess
said,
who it is.
If you guess who it is, we'll admit it.
Yeah.
He specifically asked us not to tell anyone.
And it was not me.
I'm still looking, by the way.
It was not me. I like that, though, because it was old school, and, you know, I dig it.
You know, that's cool. Okay, I did figure it out.
Did you figure it out?
What's cool? I did figure out the other thing. Not who that is. I know who that is. The one that the Coretto brothers recorded for us, so we could play it and decide all the kind of neat stuff. What's really cool about this one is it came from overseas. This is one of those other countries. This is by a gentleman named Craig Russell.
Hey, Craig.
From the Anvil Chorus.
Where?
He's a member of Babs.
Oh.
Over in England somewhere.
Across the pond.
I don't know where the Anvil Chorus is. But, so do we have the Coretto Brothers?
We're queued,
version?
Ready to go. And someone had mentioned we should have someone from another country do this. And we could. And one might argue that the Coretto Brothers are certainly in a world of their own. But take a listen.
You're on Forecast.
Now this is the show that you know you can hear to give cheer. Listen to Forecast. 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 You're listening to Forecast.
Well, there. That's that. That's pretty cool.
That was very cool. It's a nice. Want to sing in a hallway because you can hear it just getting louder and louder as you're going on.
I want a German one. I mean, I want it in German.
Well,
is that so wrong?
Yeah, that's wrong.
I don't think it's so wrong. I should get my father-in-law to do one. Of course, you heard the first song was actually an updated version of the Forecast theme by Raymond Davis. Do we want to play that or?
Sure. Why not?
Why not? Take a listen to Raymond Davis sing it again.
When you need a four-part blast, listen to the Barbershop Forecast.
You'll always know the score
and beg for more from all the knowledge you've amassed.
We bet you will be aghast,
cause it downloads to your hard drive mighty fast. So strike up the band and give them a hand for Eric and Alan. Barbershop, it's unsurpassed, and here at last, the Barbershop Forecast.
So that was just longer than anybody else.
That's true. It's actually almost like a whole song, but you know, he gets extra points not because of that. Not because of the length and not because of the whole song, but because he actually mentions yours and my name.
That is true. Extra points. And you know what? He sent us like four or five of these things.
Yeah, and we're going to use them for bumps.
Huh?
In fact, we'll have to send off emails to ask the various people if we can use their tags as bumpers for things
might
as we're
well.
Going along, just because they're so, all of them have been awesome.
Well, you know what, Alan, let's do two things. One, if you like to tag in specifically, they're up on the website, take a listen. Also send us a message.
Almost all of them are up on the website.
Are they?
They're not all there yet, but they will be.
Okay, good. So take and send us a message in the subject line, put tag contest. Give us your input, see what you like. This, I think we need to keep moving, and this next little bit is, I love calling it a bit, is by a guy who has not sent us any tags.
That's true, and he's a guy who I called him by the wrong name at the first interview. So
I think he owes me money.
Or the
anyway.
the first episode, excuse me.
You know, I tell you what, this judge, and we'll let you know, it's a judge. I once picked him up, drove him to the contest, and what did he do? Do you think he scored me higher for that?
No, I know he didn't because
we were in the same quartet. Take a listen to another conversation held at the 2005 Men's Barbershop Harmony Society International Competition in Salt Lake City, Utah, with the fabulous Mr. Bob Hodges. So we're sitting in the downtown Marriott in Salt Lake City, and guess who we found but Bob Hodges, presentation judge. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Pretty good, I think. You doing okay?
I think I'm doing okay.
So, hey, Bob, tell me, you're not in the pit.
I am not in the pit. I'm having fun doing nothing this weekend.
At all?
At all. Just watching and enjoying the show.
Really? How about the afterlife?
The afterlife has been good, too.
Afterglow.
The afterglow afterlife has been good, too.
Fantastic. So a couple of real quick questions. Since you're a presentation judge, how long have you been doing that?
Presentation since the mid-90s. Before that, stage presence in the old categories. back into the mid-'80s.
So how do you, when you sit in the audience, how do you turn off the judge? How do you take the judge hat off? And
well,
can you?
Absolutely, all the time. I'm just like you. I'm a critical audience member. I don't throw scores down in my head or anything when I'm just watching. I just turn it off and go enjoy the show or not enjoy the show, depending on the performance. But I'm not one who tries to throw a number up on everything, because I just would rather just enjoy. And that, I try to take that actually into the pit and judge that way as well. We look at overall impact of the entertainment value in the presentation category. And so to try to, you know, the old days of the plus points and the minus points are gone, thank goodness. We look at the overall entertainment value. So it just makes us more like an audience member, which I personally prefer.
And I assume you're unique in that way among the judges.
Me? No. Our category is unique in that way among the categories.
Ooh, category envy here.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it's obviously fun, but we get a much more holistic approach of the performance level, and then relate that to a number based on the scoring parameters and things that are present in the descriptions. But that's how you arrive at the number. But really what you're looking at is the overall level of the performance and entertainment value.
So it doesn't matter to you whether it's really barbershop or not, as long as it's entertaining.
Well, asterisk, yeah. I mean, obviously, if it's so far, what was the comment that Jeff Baker used to make about one of their songs about, you know, the ever widening barbershop umbrella? And he says, well, this next song, you can't even see the umbrella from here. So if you can't see the umbrella from there, it's probably going to be affected all the way across the board.
How is, we were talking just last night with Cindy Hansen about presentation category. What has seemingly happened over the last 5-10 years, how much it's changed.
It's been kind of fun.
Yeah?
At least I think so. I think it provides a better entertainment value for the audience. And that's, you know, if you look at the list of who's important, the performer is first and the audience is second, and the judges are somewhere way down the list in importance. And so if you're doing things that are devices in your performance to just score points, if you will, I think it's a wrong reason to be on stage. And so hopefully the categories have migrated, and especially the presentation category, because I don't know what music does and singing does as much, just because I'm not in those categories. But, you know, hopefully we've migrated to be more reflection of that than we were before, and not worried about, you know, this device and this, if everybody moved X number of times and all, and you know, for points.
Okay. Eric, you know, well, you don't have to take a picture right at the moment.
I was going to, but look at my display. It's all funky.
Oh, that's cool, isn't it? You got a loose wire.
Oh, man.
Just turn it off and back on again.
I've known that about Eric for years.
Well, I've known that for almost as long as you have. Well, maybe about as long. Did you know Eric when he was in Land O'Lakes, too?
No, I was in Far West then, so I was moved down to before I did my little stint up in Minnesota for 2 years, and then down to Southwest. So Southwestern, excuse me.
Get it right, jeez.
Got to.
And you're proudly wearing your VMX shirt with gold medal.
We've got the gold medal chorus performance on Sunday.
So you had to bring it
along. And that's part of the uniform for Sunday.
Fantastic.
It's going to be fun. We had rehearsal yesterday morning.
And?
And we had somewhere near 600 guys going to be on the risers.
Holy cow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And we get to be directed in three numbers, by Dr. Greg Lyne, one by Jim Clancy, and one by Dr. Craig Jessup, who's the director of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Fantastic.
And he is a taskmaster, I can tell you. He came right in on the heels of Jim Clancy, and after we'd all been worked over by Jim, we were worked over again by Dr. Jessup. So.
And Greg was an angel, of course.
Greg actually had the easy job because he was on first, and it's a shorter song, and he got to run through it, and it probably was the most rehearsed, most practiced number for the guys. Maybe in a little bit easier arrangement, too.
Wow, fantastic. So.
But the last number is going to be with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and so it'd be about 900 people singing. So
holy cow!
Yeah, it'd be pretty neat.
Well, we're sitting here with Bob Hodges. We're actually kind of watching the webcast at the same time. That's kind of funky. What do you think of? You know, we just saw. What course was that?
That was the entertainment. Sweden.
Now they had some funky stuff a couple of years ago with meatballs and pots and pans and
yeah.
And again, it looks like they just did a big thing at the end, Western hopping off. The categories, when we're talking about the change that's happening in presentation, making it more believable, making it all those things, how do you weigh in on the thing that I've heard people talk about so much here, which is voiceovers on, it's an intro, but
You mean talking?
Yeah, talking.
Well, we changed the rule this past year as a society, and so as long as it pertains to the performance, setting up a mood, emotion, or directly influencing the song and the audience to get into that song, and it's brief, mm-hmm. big capital brief, it's totally appropriate now. And so what you're seeing this year is everybody's first experiment with that, because the rule was just changed, I believe, officially at the board meeting at midwinter. So it's pretty new.
So you're cool with it, cool in the gang.
Yeah. Yeah. It's another one of those deals where I'm cool with it if it doesn't suck. You know, if you do it well, it's very good. If you do it poorly, it's horrible.
Do you think that kind of also plays in on the music category and the common ground, maybe? We're seeing songs that aren't necessarily of the barbershop heyday era. We're seeing a lot more swing tempo songs. We're seeing a lot more modern arrangements.
We are, and I don't. That's where I step off because I'm just not a I'm not an arranger, and I'm not as tied into the music category. But yeah, we certainly seem to have broadened what's acceptable under the contest and judging side of things, and have opened it up to more things that quartets and choruses seem to be used to be sort of restricted to using in shows and not in the contest stage. So,
how long have you been a barbershopper?
Since 1974.
I was 2 years old.
Pup.
Thank you for sharing that.
No problem. 74. Have you seen a top 10 like this? Honestly.
Yeah, probably, I don't know. I'm not one who, like, remembers every single one of these and everything, but this top 10 looks pretty cool. This is going to be pretty fun tonight. I'm looking forward to it. You know,
top 20 was just...
Everybody pulled out the stops in the top 20, and the couple of people that didn't, you knew right away that we weren't going to see them Saturday night. I mean, it's the level of competition is there's a lot of boys who came to play.
What do you think? Who's it going to be?
Ooh,
put you on the spot.
You know, I can't pick between Max Q and Real Time right now because Real Time just rocketed it out of the house. I just love Max Q's overall experience and musicality, and then their ballad last night. They were so at ease in everything they did, and yet Real Time just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. See, I'm right with you. And if you walk around, and I'm sure you have been walking since we found you walking, but you walk around and hear people talk about Max Q, and I've heard so many negative things about Max Q. You know, they're rehearsing
because of the fact they don't they're get so together good. As often,
yeah.
And they're just so good so easily.
Yeah,
and
you
for
know
some
what I mean?
Reason, people resent that. And they also seem to resent that they sort of had indicated they were pulling out of competition and for family reasons. And then, you know, sort of what people perceived to be late in the game, and it was, I think it was around March or April or so, they said, I think we're sort of have the decks cleared a little bit better and we're going to go ahead and compete.
Before or after prelims?
Well, it was during the prelim cycle because they had to go to prelims in order to – So, I mean, they're just like anybody else. You can decide to compete in time to get into prelims and get a score. And if you qualify, you get to go. And they're here. Boy, are they here.
Man, and Tony kind of had a little bit of a thing that first night on his tag.
I think he did have a little gear shift.
Yeah.
But then hung it out. And
had it not been real time in here, and you know, we don't know what it's going to be because it's finals is tonight yet. But
yeah, but again, you look see, you have one little tiny hiccup like that, and everybody goes, aha, there it is. That's going to knock them out, you know. And it's it for one thing to do that is just unreasonable. It's you look at the rest of the performance and the artistry and the. And the character of the music that they're putting out there, it's hard to say that one little anything. I mean, if they had a trend, if somebody, not Max Hughes, if they had a trend of singing flat or out of tune or, you know, vocal struggles throughout, mm-hmm. that's one thing. But to miss one little hiccup and, you know, continue the post even.
So do you take any Far Western District pride to see Corey Hunt up there?
Oh, man. Was it 3 years ago he was singing tenor?
Yeah.
And then he went screaming to baritone, and then he went to bass. So he's just been on a free fall
from
top to bottom. And there he was. There he was on the end of the risers with the Masters today.
Oh, yeah.
Over on the right side. So it's like, yeah, they're in a quartet, but they're part of the team. And Sean was in there, and I believe the other two guys were in as well.
And they're – OC Times, you know, last year it was Real Time and OC Times. Who are these guys?
Yeah.
I mean, it was really. And this year, I'm sorry, OC Times bumped up.
I think they could medal. Absolutely. I think we're looking at potential future champs.
That's so awesome.
That's awesome.
That little twerp.
He was the guy that was jumping up and down and making our quartet laugh during an afterglow.
He was such a little snot. He would, the doors closed, but yet he goes out through the window and pounds on the window. And you know, I remember when they won NorCal East years ago in quite a mix, and he tried picking up the trophy, which was probably bigger than he was. And now he's a little stud muffin.
Yep, there he is. He's going.
Well, hey, thanks for hanging out with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
We love you, Bob.
Hey, I miss the Far West. I'm having a ball where I'm singing, but it's I miss the Far West because it's home and always will be.
Cool.
Very cool. Thank you.
Take care. Well, wasn't that interesting?
It was, if I could remember what we talked about.
You can't say that. You can't say there's a total disconnect. Like, we want people to know that we're cutting paste and moving this stuff in and around, and we're just sitting down to do the bumpers on all this stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, there would be that. The other one, the next one, though, I do remember what we talked about. But before we get to the next one, we got to do the reminder thing. So before we go to the next one, everybody, tie your shoes and make sure you go to forecast.tv and click on the links page and vote for us. Because that wasn't in the first part. We normally tell you to do that right at the beginning. This time we're telling you to do it 3/4 of the way through.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm sorry, I was zoning there for a second.
Well,
hey, you know
that.
What? This is also a good time to throw in a little bump and a little tease. We've got a really cool interview coming up this month, actually in August, don't we, Alan?
Yes, we do.
Do you know who
Maybe
it is?
Maybe two or three.
Really?
Do I know who it is?
Do you know who it is? I talked to him.
So did I.
Nice guy.
I talked to him at International. Actually, I sang a tag with him. And
really?
He didn't give me a sticker, though. He was giving stickers or something away to people, and he didn't give me one. Of course, it was
Ed
Sunday
Watson.
Morning at 3 o'clock in the morning.
See, that's what I like. I like a CEO that's going to stay up and party.
You know, I got to agree with that.
100%. I kind of like that. Anyway, bygones. So we're having that come up in the next few sessions, but this is... if you've been waiting for something really earth, what's the word?
Shaking?
No, not earth shaking. Yeah, you know, this is interesting, though, because this guy, just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And if you can book these guys on a show, I highly suggest it.
We got to give some background. We got to, before you talk too much, we got to make sure we talk about the background of when we're doing this interview and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Because it won't make sense for people that are used to a certain style of interview with us.
That's right. We actually caught Sean Devine on what did we catch Sean Devine on?
He was on a
plane. He was getting ready to go across country to do a gig.
Yeah, but you know what's cool? Well, you'll find that out. Where we actually caught him, we caught him on his cell phone. Oh, we should probably explain who Sean Devine is. He's a lead of a quartet that did relatively well and maybe people have heard of.
Kind of reminds me of Jack Nicholson with his eyes, you know? If Jack were to sing Barbershop, I want to sing a tag. Let's sing a tag. You know?
You know, I don't
want to watch the World Series.
No? No, I just don't get that with Sean.
No, he doesn't.
Sean's too nice.
He is a sweet man. I mean that in a completely nice platonic way.
I'm really glad your wife was on last week so people would know what you meant.
Hey, Raymond Davis is on iChat right now. Hey, anyway, take a listen to this wonderful interview with Sean Devine from the Salt Lake City Airport. Well, here we are with a very special call. Sean Devine, where the heck are you?
I'm actually on a layover in the beautiful Salt Lake City Airport, which is pretty cool. I get to come right back to Salt Lake 2 weeks after the international for about an hour or so on my way out to the East Coast.
So did you wave hi at the stage and all that stuff on your way through?
I did. I had a little moment. It was very cool.
Are the girls still there waiting for your return?
You know what? Sadly, they are not. It's very quiet here, unlike it was 2 weeks ago. And nobody knows who I am, which is kind of cool.
Well, in case you don't know who we're talking to, we're speaking with Sean Devine of OC Times, Far Western District Quartet that placed where? 5 in the medals this year?
Correct. 5th.
5th. How's that work?
We honestly don't know how that worked. We had a game plan, and we're having so much fun, and we're trying some new stuff. We're working hard, we're having a blast, and we're just overjoyed with the results. We were not expecting that. We had some goals, we had some expectations, but it certainly wasn't to place in the top 5 and to come home with a medal. So we were just absolutely blown away Saturday night. And well, the whole week was just more than we could have even anticipated. We were listed up the whole week. The crowd was unbelievable. To be there with the chorus, we were all active with the Masters of Harmony, and it was an amazing week, one we'll definitely not forget.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys came home with 2 medals.
Correct. it was a blast. I mean, some people were like, how are you going to swing both groups? But it really helped us stay warm all week and stay focused, and the support, too, with being there with a chorus. We had a lot of support. We felt lifted up all week, and it was a great time.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the comments that I had made earlier was that I was very impressed that you guys were on with the Masters.
Yeah, that was one of the classiest
Masters, and
things.
Then turned around and came out first in the quartet contest. That was really, really impressive.
There's a legend. The last time the International was in 96 was Nightlife. All 4 were active with the Masters, and they were competing with the Masters, and obviously as a quartet. And that night, they sang with the Masters acceptance, and they drew contestant number 1, and they went around and sang first in their quartet outfits, and ended up winning the gold medal. And that's something that everybody always talks about, and the fact that we got to duplicate that in some way was an honor to us. Obviously, we idolize Nightlife, and to be a part of the Masters Saturday night with the acceptance, and then to come right around and be contestant number 1, it was too good to be true.
Yeah, that's very cool.
It was great.
We were proud to be part of the Far Western District and actually know at least one of the members relatively well, of OC Times, that is.
Well, I know 2 of them.
Well, I know Corey relatively well. I don't know Sean yet. But
well, Sean's a nice guy.
I know he is. So that's a question for you. Where did OC Times come from?
Yeah, you know, there's actually a story. If you go to our website, octimesquartet.com, there's a little thing there. If you go to biography and then you click a little link called The Chronicles, it tells you in depth exactly how the group started. Some people speculate O.C. Cash, the founder of the Barbershop Harmony Society. O.C. can also obviously stand for Orange County, where the group was founded. So some people say the times of O.C. Cash. Some people say the times we spent in Orange County. I think it's become the latter just because of it's where we meet, it's where we spend our time, it's where we stay up late nights singing in the at the beach or the parking lot of TGI Fridays,
the
block
beach.
Of Orange, singing tags, and so it's become OC has definitely stood for where we spend all of our time in Orange County, California. So
well, that's cool. So you're
all right,
definitely
so let's be done
yourself
with the pleasant things. I'm okay. I'm done being pleasant.
Okay.
So, Sean, you and I kind of know each other, and I've had this podcast has been a little bit more stressful for me because my blood pressure kind of peaked in the beginning on some other internet issues. Talk to me about song selections.
Sure.
Because, you know, people, I tell you, we're in the audience, and people freaked out when you guys were done. When you came on the first night, people were like, wow, who are they? By the second and third night after you pulled out, Put Your Head on My Shoulder.
So, the two doo-wop songs, which is what everybody is going to consider them,
With your doo-wop song.
They're not doo-wops, but, you know, again, should it be Kibber?
I don't know. We'll talk about those songs. How, because many people, Eric included, when we were sitting up in the audience, because I was sitting next to him, he was freaking out, saying those are not going to do well in the music category.
No, I didn't say that. I said I had concern.
Well, yeah, but
that's
he was
all
going.
I
he
said.
Didn't. Eric actually came out and said, "I don't think those are right."
I'll be honest. We had some concerns as well, but we talked earlier, Eric, about the image factor, and Cindy Hansen's going to be talking a lot about the image factor, and it's something that every quartet needs to address. As early as they can, as early as they can possibly identify who they are and what they do and what they want to portray and the kind of music they want to sing, the better. And for us, with the assistance of Mark Hale, we figured out what we want to do and how we want to do it. And with a good friend of Mark Hale's, an arranger and another a fellow music judge, Aaron Dale, we came up with a really cool concept for the finals. We were going to sing these songs that were pretty famous back in the doo-wop era, but could be arranged, fit in the model of the image we wanted to portray and with the barbershop style. The melody line was all going around the circle of fifths. Aaron said when he was arranging these songs, he didn't run into any problems at all. They were fitting right in, right where he wanted them to go. As a music judge, Aaron Dale and Mark Hale, we knew that they were contestable. We were just hoping that the panel was ready and willing to give them a shot, and we were couldn't have been happier. Our two highest-scoring songs were our last two songs. Actually, our highest-scoring song was our last song, Save the Last Dance for Me, which was a shock to us. Just because we weren't sure if the judges were ready for it, but obviously we were very happy to say that they were. And almost more importantly, the audience, one of our greatest responses was on Saturday night after that second song. And we knew, and Mark Yell said it's definitely a risk. We knew it was going to be a risk. Yeah, we couldn't have been happier with the results, obviously. But when we cut off that second song and everybody, we got that reaction that we did, I mean, unbelievable. I mean, that was probably the highlight of the week. Then, just a few moments before, obviously the medal call was one we'll never forget. But the crowd response, and then to see how the judges reacted to those two songs, will always be a highlight for us. We're very happy to see that the music judges and the whole entire panel welcomed those songs, which is a very very awesome thing that they're willing. And this is some of the discussions going on the HarmNet right now. But there is room for these songs in our society. There's going to be the old songs, and there's going to be room for these type of new songs, and they're all presented in the barbershop style. It only helps us appeal to a broader audience. If we keep singing maybe just polecats or the same old songs over and over again, we're appealing to a smaller audience. We're missing the opportunity for maybe some certain people who are coming in for the first time. I know we had a lot of people from the public, civilians, I like to call them, from Salt Lake City, were coming in, and they were really publicizing this event for just normal people off the street. And I think the opportunity to maybe appeal to these newer people with these different songs, we're presenting all of these different songs, a wide spectrum of songs from several different decades, all presented still in the barbershop style. We're really honored to be part of that, to maybe to help present another option for them.
That's very cool. My comment is, you still haven't, you know, broken the barrier, because those songs are almost 50 years old, right?
Yeah, that's the other thing. A lot of people are like, these new songs are like, whoa, they're still 50 years old. And that's very true. And it's so funny that a song that can be 50 years old is so cutting edge.
Well, you know, back in 19... what year was the society founded?
1938.
So cutting edge songs were still 50 years old at 1890 or 18, yeah. Whatever. So have people, other than the judges, has anyone come up and said, hey, what are you doing these crazy new songs?
Yeah, have you heard negative comments from people about them?
We have not heard one negative comment from anybody via email. I know some people in the HarmNet put a blanket thing over those two songs saying they were concerned. And honestly, we were surprised with the HarmNet. Being the way it is sometimes, we thought it would be worse than it was.
Oh, God.
We expected worse.
Let's not get Eric started.
I just think there's been so much change going on right now I'll keep saying it. The fact that these songs were received like they were, it was almost the highlight of the week for us. It's a great sign. There's room for these new songs, just as there's room for the old songs. Will always be there, and if we can present these new songs, I mean, it's a win-win. It's great stuff to see our gold medal champions, the final night, come out and sing "Heart of My Heart," and then turn right around and sing "Cry Me a River." I mean, that's what it's all about. There's room for all of these songs in our society, and it's exciting to be a part of, for sure.
Well, no, no, Sean, that I didn't dislike these songs.
Oh, right.
It's not like that by any means.
You just don't like Doo-Wop.
I've kind of talked. I do not like Doo-Wop. I can't stand Doo-Wop. It's nothing personal. Hey, what are you doing today anyway?
Me?
Where are you on the way to, Sean?
Leading you right to it. I'm flying to the East Coast. I'm actually involved in a Doo-Wop group that's been around for about 20 years. They're called the Alley Cats, and we're going to be performing over in Philadelphia and up in New York City. Doing some acapella doo-wop music. I don't like doo-wop either. It's just a paycheck, Eric.
So are you totally are you counted
That's
as a
hilarious? Yeah,
I'm so kidding.
Are you counted as a professional musician?
I don't know. Is that possible? I've been lucky enough. I moved out from Hershey, Pennsylvania, about 5 years ago, and I'm happy to say that a lot of my paychecks do come from different music work. I also
modeling.
Fill the Dapper Dans at Disneyland from time to time. The group I'm in, the Alley Cats, we do some session work in L.A. We also keep busy as its own group, the Alley Cats. The group's been around for 20 years, singing acapella doo-wop music. And I'm actually about to board my plane right now. I'm going to leave Salt Lake City, and we had an hour layover here. And we're going to fly over to Philadelphia right now. So
is that your
so you got to get going here?
Yeah,
in other words,
I'm just handing my boarding pass to the lovely lady here at Delta Airlines. Thank you so much.
It's the Forecast, the Barbershop Forecast. Wah 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 wah! You should listen. You're listening to it now. It's only for you. It's a Forecast.
Only for Sean Devine would we do that. I hope he's not mad about my comment about Jack Nicholson either.
Yeah, and now we show people that there is other sides to the Barbershop Forecast Keep It Barbershop section. Where we don't always. No, that's okay.
Sorry, a little late on the draw there.
That's the way it works sometimes.
Well,
that was another. That was tag number 5 from Raymond Davis there. So,
yeah, and if you want to vote for it, you know my impression about doo-wop music. I don't care if I'm under 40. I don't care if I'm under 35. I don't care if I started in the society at 11. It's got to be not doo-wop. I just, you know,
yeah.
I'll listen to some contemporary a cappella, but I just doo-wop. I didn't miss it.
Yeah, I know that you have Blender CDs, so I wouldn't go too far.
Yes, but that's more contemporary than that doo-wop-y kind of, you know?
True.
I mean, you get a bass doing this.
It's the Forecast.
Stop.
Why stop?
Stop, because Raymond's a tenor. Stop.
He did a great job for a tenor. Come on, man. Nails his tag.
It's a Forecast.
See, I think that's hilarious.
You got to hand it to Raymond, though. He does all 4 parts on those and just has a blast.
Yeah, that's great.
In any case.
Well, here you go. We've exhausted far too many hours again doing yet another podcast.
And hopefully it's something you guys are all enjoying.
So Sean Devine, love him.
Great guy. Wonderful brief conversation we had before we had to run onto the plane. It would have been longer, but, you know, technical difficulties again.
Well, you know what, Alan? It's about time for us to wrap this up. But I do want to remind everyone that should you actually care which tag we use for the Forecast theme, let us know. Send us a message in the subject line. Put tag contest. And we'll take into consideration when we make the final choice next week for that fabulous MP3 player.
And we look forward to hearing your opinions. And if you've got more tags, it's still absolutely open between now and the next release of our next podcast, which who knows when that's going to be. We thought last one was going to be a week ago and 2 weeks. But it probably should be within 2 or 3 weeks. In any case, if you've got a podcast client, keep it connected and you'll just automatically get it. If not, We'll send out an email reminding everybody that we did it.
Well, that's all I have, Alan. I'm about done. Stick a fork in it.
This is my fault this time. I was taking a sip while you said we have to finish it.
That's all right. One so we got it. So I'm done. Let's. I think we should be done.
I think we should too. So we should figure out a tag to play for our closing thing here. Actually, you know what? Let's play the. If it's all right with you, let's play the. I want to play the anonymous tag again.
I do. I was hoping you were going to say that. I like that old school deal. And a special hello to Lori Myers and wherever she's at. How cool is it to hear from her? Anyway, cut that out if you want.
No, that sounds great. And I don't have anybody to say special hello to because nobody that I know listens to it.
I'll talk to Mom later because God knows you're not going to call her. This is Eric Brixen.
And Alan LeVigieux bringing you the only barbershop podcast on the web.
On the planet, baby. And you know what? This goes over satellite, so who knows? Maybe it got picked up on that new planet past Pluto. Get old school. Till next time.
That's a different podcast, so.
Yeah. Till next time. We'll talk to you guys later.
It's the Forecast.
So what'd you think?
I think it's a good one. I think we might want to hang on to that one as our closer. Maybe we'll have to like figure out some other kind of prize.
Old school out.
Later.